Ramayan Balakanda Part 10. The next morning, Maharaj Janaka called for Vishvamitra, Ram, and Lakshman. After respectfully greeting them, Janaka said, "I know that such great personalities would not come here without some grave purpose. So therefore, please inform me what service I may offer you." Vishvamitra smilingly replied, "Ram and Lakshman have come here because they are eager to see the wonderful bow you keep and have been worshipping for so long." Janaka then explained, "This bow was used by Lord Shiva in a bygone age in order to disrupt the sacrifice of his son-in-law, Daksha. Being denied of his sacrificial share, Lord Shiva angrily picked up this bow and threatened to annihilate all the demigods. Coming to their senses, the demigods were able to pacify Lord Shiva, and in turn, he handed over his bow to them. The demigods later entrusted the bow to Devavrata, the eldest son of Maharaj Nimi, who is my forefather." So after describing the history of Lord Shiva's bow, Janaka then related another interesting story. "Once upon a time, as I was leveling the sacrificial arena with a golden plow, much to my astonishment, I happened to uncover a baby girl, and so I named her Sita, raising her as my own daughter. Sita quickly grew up, and when she attained maturity, many eligible princes came calling, hoping to win her hand in marriage. But since my daughter was not an ordinary being, I explained to the princes that in order to win her hand in marriage, they must possess great valor. Then I brought forth the bow of Lord Shiva, asking them to string it. However, none of them could even lift it or hold it, what to speak of bending or stringing it. Most of the princes left feeling insulted, and then they banded together to attack Mithila. A fierce battle raged for 12 months, and finally, as my army weakened, I prayed to the demigods for assistance. In answer to my plea, the celestials mercifully sent an army, and simply by seeing them, my enemies fled in fear. So since Ram is eager to see the bow of Lord Shiva, I will bring it before him to examine. If Ram is able to string this wonderful bow, then I will gladly give him my beautiful daughter, Sita." Soon, 500 strong men pulled the immense bow, which was encased in a chest and mounted on a cart with 8 wheels. Vishvamitra invited Ram to open the chest, while thousands of people gathered to watch. As Ram gazed with admiration of the bow, Janaka warned, "Even great demigods, demons, rakshasas, yakshas, gandharvas, and nagas have failed to even bend this mighty bow. So how then will a mere mortal succeed in stringing it?" Nevertheless, Ram sportingly placed his left hand upon the middle of the bow, and then, in the presence of the huge crowd, Ram effortlessly lifted the bow out of its case. Holding the bow aloft, Ram strung the bow within an instant, and bending it with great force, snapped it in the middle, just as a baby elephant breaks a stick of sugar cane. The thunderous cracking sound was like a mountain bursting apart, and caused everyone but Vishvamitra, Janaka, Ram, and Lakshman to fall to the ground. And so, with great pleasure, Maharaj Janaka requested Vishvamitra to send messengers to Ayodhya, inviting King Dasharatha to attend the marriage of Ram and Sita. And when the messengers arrived 3 days later at the court of Maharaj Dasharatha, they related the glorious events of Ram's breaking the bow and thus winning Sita's hand in marriage. Upon hearing this, Dasharatha became overjoyed. Then, after consulting with Vasistha and Vamadeva, Dasharatha decided that they should all depart for Mithila the following day. The next morning, Dasharatha started out, keeping his family priest in front and taking his army and a great quantity of wealth. After traveling 4 days, the party reached the outskirts of Mithila. Seeing his approach, Janaka came out to meet Dasharatha, giving him a royal reception. And afterwards, when Dasharatha met with his two sons, it was fixed that the preliminary marriage rituals would begin at an auspicious moment the very next day. And so the next morning, everyone assembled, and before the wedding ceremonies commenced, Dasharatha requested Janaka to hear of his royal lineage from Vasistha. And being so requested, the great sage narrated the history of the Raghu dynasty. Marichi was the direct son of Lord Brahma, and Marichi's son was Kashyapa. And from Kashyapa was born Vivasvan, the sun god. And Vivasvan's son was Manu. The son of Vaivasvata Manu was Ikshvaku, who was the first ruler of Ayodhya. Many generations later, in the Ikshvaku line came Bharata, whose son was Asita, who was conquered by his enemies, the Haihayas, Talanjagas, and Shashabindus. Being thus defeated, Asita decided to retire to the Himalayas along with his two wives. And when Asita passed away, one of the widows named Kalindi was pregnant. The other widow became envious of her and mixed poison in with Kalindi's food, desiring to kill the child within her womb. When Kalindi began to suffer the effects of the poison, the great Rishi Chavana happened to arrive at that spot. Kalindi tearfully sought his blessings so that her child might live. And the Rishi assured her that a son would be born along with the excreted poison. So because of these unusual circumstances, Kalindi's son was named Sagara, or one who was born along with poison. Later on, in the line of Ikshvaku, the great-grandson of Maharaj Bhagiratha, named Pravridha, was cursed by Vasistha to become a Rakshasa, and thus he came to be known as Kalmashapad. There were many great kings who descended from Ikshvaku, such as Ambarish, Nahusha, Yayati, Nabag, and Aja, the father of Maharaj Dasharatha. After describing their histories, as well as many others, Vasistha formally requested King Janaka to give away his two daughters, Sita and Urmila, in charity to Ram and Lakshman. Janaka Maharaj then described his own genealogy, beginning with King Nimi and concluding with his own father, Vrishabharoma. The king happily concluded the solemn agreement, giving away his daughters to the sons of Dasharatha Maharaj. First, Janaka requested Dasharatha to have the Samavartana ceremony performed for Ram and Lakshman. This entails shaving the head and underarms, just as when a student returns home from the Gurukula. Then, the fire sacrifice was fixed for 3 days later at an auspicious time. Vasistha requested that the two daughters of King Janaka's younger brother, Kushadvaja, be given in charity to Dasharatha's other two sons, Bharat and Shatrughna. Janaka agreed, and when the Samarvartana ceremony was performed, Dasharatha gave away 100,000 cows in charity to Brahmanas for each of his four sons. And thereafter, at the auspicious hour known as Vijay, on the day chosen for the marriage, Vasistha approached Janaka saying, "O king, the ruler of Kosala and his four sons now wait outside for he who shall give away his daughters. Let the auspicious wedding sacrifice now begin without delay." Thereafter, Maharaj Dasharatha escorted his four sons into the sacrificial arena, while Vasistha Muni prepared the sacred altar, decorating it with sandalwood paste, flowers, potted plants, bowls filled with scented water, grains, incense, and pots of turmeric, along with other auspicious articles. And then, when all was ready, Vasistha lit the sacrificial fire and began offering oblations while other Brahmanas chanted Vedic mantras. King Janaka then escorted Sita into the sacrificial arena and seated her next to Ram. With a voice trembling with emotion, Janaka said, "O noble prince, this is my daughter Sita. Please take her hand and accept her as your lifelong partner. She is a reservoir of all auspicious qualities, and she will forever be devoted to you as faithfully as your own shadow." And then, as Gandharvas sang and Apsaras danced with joy, amid showers of flowers from heaven and the vibration of celestial drums, King Janaka joined the hand of the goddess of fortune, Sita, with the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ram. King Janaka then placed the hand of Urmila into Lakshmana's hand, then Mandavi's hand in Bharata's, and finally Shrutakirti's hand into Shatrughna's. The four brothers then circumambulated the sacrificial fire three times while clasping the hands of their newly wedded wives. Afterwards, they circumambulated King Janaka and the great rishis. And upon gaining Sita, the embodiment of all loveliness and virtue, Ram felt unlimited satisfaction and happiness. And similarly, Sita felt unprecedented bliss upon achieving her beloved Ram, the Lord of her heart, and the emblem of goodness, chivalry, intelligence, and handsomeness. Sita and Ram were equally endowed with transcendental qualities of form, beauty, behavior, age, and nature. Thus dedicating their hearts to each other, Sita and Ram shone resplendently, just as Lord Vishnu shines in the company of his divine consort, Lakshmiji. And so, even today, opulent marriage festivals are enjoyed universally. The Supreme Lord Ram himself has kindly shown us that a man and woman can enjoy a successful marriage by combining to follow religious principles. Human beings should not mate simply out of sex impulse like cats and dogs, for the way of the beasts is characterized by fear, suffering, and rebirth. Therefore, every civilized society has some systematic arrangement for married life according to religious codes, aimed about bringing peace and, in the best of societies, God-conscious living. Being eternally related as husband and wife, Ram and Sita are inseparable. But materialists sometimes want to worship and even try to possess the goddess of fortune without Lord Ram. But this is never possible. For without Ram, Sita turns into Durga, the material energy personified. And to embrace her is to embrace death. However, if we concentrate on pleasing Lord Ram or Lord Krishna, the goddess of fortune herself will automatically bestow all of her blessings upon us. The secret of successful living, including family affairs, is to therefore put God in the center of our lives and thus make His service the goal of all of our endeavors. After the day's festivities were concluded, the marriage party retired for the night, and the next morning, Vishvamitra left Mithila for the Himalayas, and later that day, Maharaj Dasharath departed with his four sons and their wives after receiving a large dowry from King Janaka.